Chapter 4. Moses answered,
What if they do not believe me, or listen to me and say, The Lord did not appear to you?
Then the Lord said to him,
What is that in your hand?
A staff,
he replied. The Lord said,
Throw it on the ground.
Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him,
Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.
So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand.
This,
said the Lord,
is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you.
Then the Lord said,
Put your hand inside your cloak.
So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow.
Now put it back into your cloak,
he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said,
If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground.
Moses said to the Lord,
O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue.
The Lord said to him,
Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
But Moses said,
O Lord, please send someone else to do it.
Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said,
What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it.
Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him,
Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive.
Jethro said,
Go, and I wish you well.
Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian,
Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead.
So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses,
When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, Let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son.
At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it.
Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me,
she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron,
Go into the desert to meet Moses.
So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said,
This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert.
Pharaoh said,
Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go.
Then they said,
The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword.
But the king of Egypt said,
Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work.
Then Pharaoh said,
Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working.
That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people.
You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies.
Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people,
This is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all.
So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying,
Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw.
The Israelite foremen, appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers, were beaten and were asked,
Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?
Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh.
Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people.
Pharaoh said,
Lazy, that's what you are. Lazy. That is why you keep saying, Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks.
The Israelite foreman realized they were in trouble when they were told,
You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day.
When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said,
May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us.
Moses returned to the Lord and said,
O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all.
Chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses,
Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.
God also said to Moses,
I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.
Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses,
Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country.
But Moses said to the Lord,
If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?
Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Pallu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the sons of Levi according to their records, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. The sons of Gershon by clans were Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Kohath lived 133 years. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These were the clans of Levi, according to their records. Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nephig, and Zichri. The sons of Uzziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab and sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. The sons of Korah were Asher, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These were the Korahite clans. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said,
"Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions."
They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him,
"I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you."
But Moses said to the Lord,
"Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?"
Chapter 15. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked,
"Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat."
Jesus replied,
"And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'"
Jesus called the crowd to him and said,
"Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean."
Then the disciples came to him and asked,
"Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?"
He replied,
"Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit."
Peter said,
"Explain the parable to us."
"Are you still so dull?"
Jesus asked them.
"Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean.